You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for coming to 1 Million Cups Appleton. Really excited to be here today. We have a friend from out of town joining us. For those who aren't familiar with what 1 Million Cups is, we're a celebration or gathering every week for Appleton, where we learn about a new entrepreneur and their entrepreneurial journey. So today we have a friend from out of town, which is really cool about this virtual format. We have formerly Zybyte, but now Maya AI. And we have the CEO of Sat here with us today. Thanks so much for joining us, Sat. The floor is yours. Please take it from here.
Sure. Thank you so much, Andrew, for the introduction. And good morning to everyone on the call and everyone listening anywhere across the world. So this is, I'm on kind of technically a tour for 1 Million Cups. So this is kind of, I think, my 30th one that I've done. So kind of used to it and really happy to be here. So I'm just going to go ahead and share my screen. We'll just get this party started. All right. All right. So good morning, everyone. My name is Sat Ramphal, and I am the CEO of Now My AI, where we are accelerating the entrepreneurial journey using voice and AI. And so the problem that we're solving, we all know that founders are the busiest people on the globe. They spend up to 70% of their day just being drowned in administrative level work, that they can't grow the company, they become overwhelmed, and they lose focus. So we came up with a solution, and her name is Maya. Now, Maya is a productivity assistant that helps to facilitate up to 50% of the administrative tasks that a founder would go through. She does this by predicting what they need to do next to grow operationally, why it needs to be done, and then communicating the work with the proper vendor integrations within the platform. And so through Maya, we have a mission that we want to help reduce the failure rate in the United States by 3%, because most founders face failure because of time management. Now, how does Maya really work? Well, she's an app-based solution, so you can download her, or you can sign up via desktop. And so she's voice-based. You can talk to her, she can talk, and she can talk to you. You can say things like, hey, Maya. You can ask her a question on business, and she'll give you advice. You can ask her for an update on certain tasks that are being done, or you can launch a task saying, hey, Maya, I need to launch an incorporation, or hey, Maya, I need to launch a marketing campaign. Hey, Maya, I need to get a business bank account. Now, remember, these are only administrative operational things that she can deploy. She's going to deploy it through the vendor integrations that's within the platform using the custom algorithm that you can see on the screen there. The data that she has that trains herself to be able to make the predictions is from our partner integrations. So those partner integrations, you know, range from the list that you see on the screen, marketing, HR, legal, sales, as well as the user behavior of founders currently using the system, and then foundational market research, such as the Kauffman Foundation, the Knight Foundation, and the Nielsen Foundation. We have been growing pretty exponentially over the past couple of months, where we launched in November. We launched our pivot in November. But recently, we've gone to a private-only environment because we've been getting too many unqualified users. So we've gone to a private invite-only environment, which allowed us to kind of optimize our users a little bit more and then kind of have the founders deploy. Right now, they're deploying on average like 3 tasks on a monthly basis. We want them to get up to 6 tasks on a monthly basis. So that's the goal there. And the other goal with going private is to be able to right now remove up to 25% of the physical research that they're doing. And then they can ask that questions from Maya instead of doing research. So the team that's backing this up is a group of 3 brothers right here in Tampa, Florida. We've gone through 3 startups together, 1 failure, 2 successes. 2 failures, 1 success. And we have over 35 years of startup experience combined in multiple different industries. We've been in software development. We've run call centers. We've built marketing companies and web services companies. And so it makes us the perfect team that we've come together to be able to build a solution. As a matter of fact, it's what inspired us to build Maya. When we last failed in our last company, It was because of how we spent our time. And then when we sat on the beach trying to figure out what we wanted to do in our life next, that's where Maya was born. Because what we really wanted to do was build a solution where founders didn't have to go through the same type of experiences we did. And so from a big vision perspective, yeah, Maya can change the world. For anybody who has a startup wants to change the world, Maya can essentially change the way that entrepreneurs act and carry out their business on a daily basis. However, we are fundamentally focused on the United States and working with first-time founders that are under 2 years old. We're currently going to market and currently tackling how we're going to kind of implement Maya into the world by tapping into the four most highest entrepreneurship, the four cities that has the highest entrepreneurship activity, as well as use the partnerships that we have, like incubators, accelerators, universities, other ESOs, because we're not spending any money on marketing and advertising. So we're actually growing by those distribution hubs and our word of mouth. The business model, we become very cash flow heavy because we essentially take all the administrative tasks. And so we will take all the administrative costs as well. And so we expect to collect $15,000 annually on administrative costs for founders through the Maya system. However, our model of kind of getting paid is a transactional model. So for every task deployed, for every payment, we take a 5% transaction fee. And then in year three, we have a licensing model that will then license Maya on the back end to accelerators, incubators, and other ESOs, because we'll have a full audit journey of founders based on the integrations that we have. What's the alternative to Maya? You can do it yourself. You can hire an executive assistant or a team, or you can try one of our expensive competitors. And our expensive competitors are not using the same technology we have. They're pretty much framing AI on the front end and having humans facilitate the work on the back end. Whereas we're using APIs and partner integrations so that the work is transferred in real time to the vendors. And that's the end of my presentation. This is a few testimonials of people that are currently using the Maya product in its beta. And I want to thank Appleton, Wisconsin for listening to my presentation. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, Seth, for the presentation and for joining us today. It's always cool to have like out of town people. And thanks for choosing Appleton as one of the 30 sites to take your tour to. So we'll open up for questions now. I can start. I'd be just curious to learn more about, like, you mentioned that you're a founder several times. You've had other startups. Have they all been technology based? Is that kind of like the space you fit into? I know you kind of touched on different things, but I guess I'd be curious to just kind of learn more about the other companies that you started.
So yeah, they were all technology companies. The first one was a software development company. We had like 60 employees and built enterprise software. The other two companies were kind of startups in the tech space. But what was really unique about going through all these startups is that we built products for startups. And so the startup space is the space that we're really, really perfected in. All of the apps that we built in the software development space for the enterprise and in the marketing space, we touched so many different industries. And so that's why we built a product that was industry agnostic and not kind of rooted down into tech or professional services or construction, just high level.
Cool. Sweet. Any questions for Sad? I could go all day long, but any questions, Eric?
Yeah, I'll ask a question. Can you go into so you talked about you can ask Maya to do, like, I think you use it as an example, setting up like an LLC. You can say, hey, Maya, I need to set up an LLC. So if I understood you right, then you have a partner in the back end that it's leverages an API and it just kind of Maya then sends the request to the partner, and then the partner sets up the LLC and Maya will come back and say, your LLC has been set up or something. Is that essentially what?
That's exactly it. That's pretty much exactly it. So using the algorithm, so that algorithm is based on the industry size, location, budget. So with that learning environment, she already knows, you know, everything about you in that regards of the algorithm. So when she's sending the task off to the vendor, it's a qualified task with all the details already in place. So the vendor does not have to communicate with the founder. Maya has already communicated all the details that would be needed for that task. Essentially, we're removing the communication of vendors to they're the founders there.
So now, do you plan on, like, right now your focus is on just startups? Is this something that once a startup hits a certain phase, there would be no use for Maya anymore? Or do you plan on incorporating functions that it can do that a business owner would want to have this app at all times?
Yeah, so we are focused on startups, but if you look at it on the entrepreneurial journey, like that scale, you have ideation, you have incubation, and you have acceleration. So we've built up until the point of incubation on all of the operational elements. Now, when you really go into the acceleration side of the entrepreneurial journey, that's a lot of growth, a lot of marketing, a lot of users, kind of user testings and optimizing the entire approach. And so that phase is a lot of sales, growth, and marketing. And so we're currently building out that phase. And so, but yes, long story short.
And then, so I assume for, so like going back to the example of setting up an LLC, there's a lot of information that somebody needs to know to set up an LLC. So when you get Maya, does she take you through like the huge interview process? So all the information that you might need is already in the app so that when you decide to do something, it just shoots it off.
Not up front. So it depends on the task. So if the task requires a lot of information, then at that point of the task, there will be kind of, you have to fill in some information. But that, see, the learning environment kicks in at the point of you signing up. So every time that you're deploying a task, you may have to input information less and less and less to the point where you will never have to input information again, because the integrations will be able to support the data in real time. And then we already have the basic algorithm data that's been learned.
Interesting. I can go all day, so I'll stop now so everybody else can ask questions.
This is Mike. I'll just poke at that a little more. You all know I'm an attorney, so the example you just had was particularly interesting. So the relationships you have with people have got to be critical, right? Because that's, so just your LLC example, which is just tip of iceberg, and I know Eric's been through. So LLC may not be the right entity for everybody. So a founder thinks I need an LLC. Well, that may not be the good one for you, because maybe you should be incorporated as a regular corporation, or maybe, you know, a regular corp with S-corp status. And I mean, I know you know, AI is coming a long way. And also, you know, you build an algorithm based on historical, what happened in the past, as to predict what's going to be in the future, right? And that's what you're trying to take, eliminate tasks. What says that next situation is not even like the last situation? So how do you deal with that? Maybe that's just a fundamental AI that I'm just not.
Yeah. You know, something that we do, when we built the basic parameters of the AI or of Maya, it was built upon our experience first, which is, yeah, you could say history. And then that was continued with the intelligence of speaking with multiple entrepreneurs and founders and successful Techstars directors, Y Combinator directors, and getting that intelligence in there. As well as what we don't do is take old data sets and implement that into the system. Not just from a legal perspective, but just say, talk about marketing or anything else. Everything post-COVID has changed. And so using old data sets would essentially mean garbage in, garbage out, because buying behavior has changed, how you eat, sleep, everything has changed. And so that's why we're not using any old data sets. We've built the basic parameters and letting new data sets be bucketed from our current users and usage to train upon that for future. But just to kind of go back to on your first point with the LLC, kind of if they're an S corp or you know, kind of what the situation is. So it's always that Maya makes a prediction of what should be done, but then there's an education side of it. You should incorporate, well, because of this, 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 and this. And then here's your options. This is an LLC. This is why you would want to choose an LLC, pros and cons. This is an S corp. This is why, pros and cons. And so she's going to be educating them on that, rather than you as a founder going off on Google and typing in what's an LLC, what's an S corp, when it's in front of your face after the prediction. So that gives the power to the founder to choose which one they want to kind of be a part of. And then after that, continuing the power of the founder, choose which vendor they would like to fulfill it. We have more than one vendor per vertical. So for example, in the situation of like LLC or S corp, we have LegalZoom, we have Indeed. We have LegalZoom, we have Rocket Lawyer and Clarkey.
Yeah. Okay.
What other, like, sorry, Mike, if you had something else, I'll, okay. So the example we've been like tossing around a lot is like starting the actual entity. I think of that as like a one-time thing. Like I did that 3 years ago, right? For the business that I'm running today. And it might've taken me, you know, we started in an LLC, which in Wisconsin is really easy to get going and probably is the case everywhere. But you know, it took me maybe less than an hour, right, to do that. So I don't look at that as like a big win, to be honest. Like as an entrepreneur, like starting the entity is something I have to do once, right? Hopefully once. So like, tell me, like, what have you found that is the biggest win that your users are getting from your system? Because like, for me, that wouldn't be a reason to start using it because I'm not planning on starting an entity again until my next idea. And that'll take another hour or, you know, whatever. But so like, what is like the biggest time saver that you're seeing users appreciate about Maya so far?
Well, it's not the one-offs. So like in that it's the use of multiple times. And so it's the, those are the operational components of getting kind of in business. And so there's, you just said you'd spend an hour getting kind of incorporated or getting an LLC done, but the average founder would spend like 3 hours just on research plus getting it done. And so the time of the prediction of this is what you should do and here's why, that's a huge time saver there. Plus all of the other work and vendors that's integrated into Maya to get all of the other multiple verticals done. So it's just not the LLC. Right after the LLC comes, you know, getting your business website and then your merchant services and your business bank account, you know, whatever falls down the line of that. And so those multiple things takes hours and hours and hours to do, whereas the AI will be able to help with the tedious, those are tedious things. Now you as the founder need to focus on the idea, the innovation, the growth, the product itself, talk to your users, validate it. You shouldn't necessarily have to be focusing on getting incorporated, getting your business bank account, your merchant services, your website, everything like that all set up. Those are tedious things that the AI can source out and educate you on. And so the time value of research and the time value of communicating the work to the vendors is what we see being the biggest thing. We had originally pivoted when we first launched in the ending of 2019, we launched as an AI mentor where founders can ask in real time, you know, business questions and just get, you know, answers, advice. That failed. Google was our biggest competitor because our response time wasn't as fast as Google was. And so we had to see where what our users were doing. And so we had a multiple list of partners that they were deploying work and tools into. And so we decided to make sense of the tools and work they were deploying into by using intelligence. And so that's kind of where we found that value of the time of research and the communication of the work with the vendors.
Yeah, I suppose so in that case. Yeah, it does make sense. But so then are you really targeting first-time founders? Because like for me, again, when I'm ready to start my next business, you know, it'll take an hour to start the entity, right? And same thing with like a website. I see that as like a one-time setup thing. Like I have a guy who does that for me already, or I can do it myself if it, you know, you weigh the time effort kind of thing. So like, are you targeting more first-time founders? Is that why you're, yep. you know, like, or what's the, yeah.
Yeah. So we are targeting first-time founders. As we get more into the acceleration side of things, then the product will be more relatable to like, you know, founders who have multiple businesses or experience, because then they could use Maya for growth options, like marketing things and things.
Yeah. And
like
I suppose that is kind of what you were saying before, but yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Super cool though. Any other questions from the crowd?
Do you have any things that people are using, any vendors, I guess is what you're calling them, that is an occurrence that happens over and over again? If that makes sense, like setting up a business bank account, one-time thing, once you're done. But like, I'm thinking like a bookkeeper or something where I say, hey, Maya, send my bank statement off to the bookkeeper updates my books for. Is there events similar to that built into this system?
So we're not that advanced just yet. That's part of our roadmap where you would be able to do that once the integration is built out for that specific like vertical. But just on the front end first off, we're not there just yet. Because where we're at with voice is our last concern, by the way. What we're trying to do is get the logic down and the brains of it built in first before you can use voice. Voice will just kind of sit on top of that logic and brain. And then you'd be able to do that. But I kind of misheard your first part of the question. I just answered your second part.
No, I think you answered the full question. Just maybe what I'm asking is there any event in there right now
that are
reoccurring that would be something you would do twice per se?
Yeah. So there are of the 8 verticals that she could deploy work in, we are only deploying work in 3 verticals right now. And that's in finance, marketing, and legal, because that's the most popular areas that our users are deploying work into. And so like the marketing would be marketing campaigns, or legal would be getting incorporated or finding an attorney, and finance will be getting capital or launching an accounting platform and things like that. And so that's the most popular so far, business bank account, things like that. Those basic things, that's the most popular right now. And so we've put all of our efforts into perfecting that first before the other verticals come in play.
Gotcha. Do you have any concerns? Like, because this sounds a lot like an Alexa, a Google assistant. Do you have any worries about, you know, these companies just seeing what you're doing and then just kind of going and swiping that logic, throwing it into their app and then just kind of making you obsolete?
Right.
Or do you see it as a potential for you to partner with them and build your technology into their technology to grow your business?
So the first part, I don't see them coming into the space right now because, and I hear it all the time, this space has the most risk because of the amount of failures that founders and startups face. So they wouldn't want to tap into that just yet until somebody's perfected it. We want to tap into that because we feel like we have built a solution to be less risk adverse. And so far it's proven to be on that trajectory. The second part, yes, we do see a potential partnership and or a relationship down the line with companies like Amazon and or Microsoft. They focus on small businesses. We are going to build to small businesses. We are focused on the startup game right now. And so when we get to that point, then that relationship could be very powerful. And then, you know, with our investors that we have right now, they've come with really good relationships with IBM and Microsoft that we've already established to kind of begin that talk.
Cool. So on that, do you guys have any patents or anything that's proprietary that you can safeguard at this point that would prevent someone else from stepping into your space?
We're currently speaking with a patent attorney at our local university here to be able to kind of help us with that. And we believe that will come in our version 2 of our product. Right now, we're currently at version 1, which is what we can still consider our prototype. So we are seeking advice on that.
Interesting. Cool. So next question, you said that right now you're also on a 1 million cups tour. And you mentioned it. I just didn't quite hear what you said. What are your other distribution concepts and how do you plan to get it out, you know, to more people beyond just, because obviously doing a meeting like this, it looks like we're probably a smaller meeting, but meeting with 7 people at one time is not obviously time effective in the long run.
Right. So what I've done is I've contacted like accelerators, incubators, ESO, and universities, you know, all focusing on entrepreneurship, you know, as a thesis. And I use them as distribution hubs. I give them a blurb, they distribute it out to their audience. That way I don't have to be involved. Or if they want, we could set up a webinar like this and we could chat about it with their students or their group individually. That's doing things right now that don't scale. Doing things that will scale, I've already had talks with GAN, which runs pretty much all of the accelerators across the United States, and you know, kind of some of the ecosystems that run entrepreneurship programs across multiple universities across the United States. Roadmap.
Right, it's a startup, it takes time.
Yeah.
Awesome. Any other questions for Sat today? I think so. Then, obviously, you know the deal with 1 million cups. Sat. Final question is always, you know, what can the community do for you?
So I'm going to drop the link in the chat. We are invite only right now. If I would love to hear anyone's feedback, you can join our platform. Test out our cool little Maya bot for founders and kind of please give feedback. We're in that phase. So if you know any founders that are in like growth stage, ideation to incubation, I'm always looking for founders to talk to and be part of the system. I always talk to each one of them right now individually, kind of qualifying them and understanding their journey. And I kind of mentor them a little bit as well, which is part of that process. So that's really cool. That's kind of my biggest ask. And if you have any connections to accelerated incubators, universities to be able for this distribution hub, I'd be more than happy to have those conversations. I believe I put the link in the chat, as well as if anybody wants to connect, you know, LinkedIn or offline, I'm more than happy to do that. I'll drop my link in the chat there as well.
Cool. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks so much for taking the time to come and join us today. I will say Wisconsin is home of Generator. If you're familiar with the Generator Accelerator.
Yeah, I just spoke with Haley from the Generator out in Alabama.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah.
They are going to be doing a little pilot at their Alabama.
Awesome. Yeah, I was going to say Generator's home base is Madison.
Oh, really?
Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah. So that's where it all began. But, you know, I know that like my one of my companies did go through the G-Beta program, and I could see this being a, you know, a good help for some of those founders that haven't done it before, need, you know, guidance that way. So, and I know like Generator, so it's good that you're in with them, but I know they have like lots of vendor partnerships that they offer, like free perks, you know, to their founders that go through the G-Beta program, which is a free accelerator. So might be a angle for you, but awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming, Sat. It was a pleasure meeting you today. Thanks everyone for joining us. We have presentations stacked up here, I think, for the next couple of weeks. So hope to see everyone at the next one. I would just be looking out for when we change this over to in-person at some point. I know that we've chatted about it, so probably be coming up soon. I don't know. We're waiting on, well, Tyler, you're new. You're from the area. I don't know, Jordan, if you're from the area as well, but we usually are at Fox Valley Technical College in the Venture Center. Usually is a weird word because like Sat said earlier, nothing is normal these days. So, but that's where we were before everything kind of shut down. So awesome. All right. Thanks everyone. I hope you have a great day, great rest of your week, and we'll see you again soon.
Bye everybody. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker. And thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.